Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Another Super Sunday here inside WPVC. And today we're going to talk about bees. Everybody knows what a bee is. Just a lot of times we don't think about bees until they're flying around our heads. So we brought somebody in here to help us talk about bees and learn about bees and remind us how important bees are. We have Mr. John Gooch. John's here. He's a vice president of the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. You can find them at centralvirginiabeekeepers.org. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us.
Oh, glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Are we going to say B with one E or two throughout the hour?
We'll probably do two E's because I love my bees.
So, John... You're the man to talk to for our hour about bees, the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. Tell me what the CV Beekeepers Association does.
The Central Virginia Beekeepers Association is a group that was started some time ago. I'm not exactly sure when, but we have grown to probably somewhere around 300 members. That might be a little stretching that there, but
when everybody shows up for the job, for the
exactly.
When meetings where you're giving out $100 bills, there's 300.
Or sometimes when we're doing honey tasting too, you know, people will come, that's what beekeepers love. It's some of the most expensive honey that I've ever collected. So you know, but anyway, it's a fun thing to do. We actually gather once a month in the spring and fall months, the summer, because we're pretty busy with, you know, that the collecting honey and that kind of thing. Sometimes we don't necessarily get together, but we get together and we have speakers that come and educate our beekeepers about what's going on with bees. And it's an enjoyable time. We have one of our ladies that usually brings in some kind of snack that is honey related, whether it's honey bread or honey cake or something like that. So it's always a good time. We meet at the Ivy Creek Natural Area, I believe, out near the reservoir.
Ivy Creek Natural Area. Yeah.
So we generally have someone that is very knowledgeable. Sometimes we'll have speakers from the state. Mr. Keith Tigner, who is our state apiarist, comes in and educates us on bee diseases or the pollinator type flowers that we might want to plant around our area, and we've actually had a gentleman in came and talked to us about bears, because bears are one of the natural predators of bees, and regardless of what you see with Winnie the Pooh, the bears don't come to raid your hives for the honey. They actually want the larvae, your bee larvae, because it's got a lot of protein in it. So that's something that it's a little bit of a myth. So
bust the myth.
There you go. But you know, we all love Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin, so we'll stay there with how it goes. And I know we all love honey as well. So it's one of those things. And we do we have a lady that does a lot of just goes and visits schools and does a lot of educational things for us that is very helpful just for young people to know about bees. We always have something at the Albemarle County Fair where we have a bee exhibit where we'll have lots of information about them, but we'll also bring a portable hive. It's one of them is an observation hive where you can go in and you can actually find the queen because she's usually got a dot on her back.
You mean an observation hive like it's made of glass?
It is. It has. It's not very big. It's not what you expect to see from a hive. It's, you know, 3 or 4 inches thick, and it has glass on both sides, and it's quite amazing if you ask me. But yes, it's the bees make their honey in there, and they do all they lay their eggs. The queen lays her eggs and that kind of thing, and we can control, not really control, you can't control bees. They're like any other living being. They do their own thing, but it's something where you can come in and see the queen and, you know, kind of tootling around and what's going on. And we also have a screened enclosure where we will bring in a hive and actually have it in there, and Ken will go in and do demonstrations on just looking at the hives and an inspection and that type of thing. So it's quite informative, and I've actually worked a couple of the Albemarle County fairs, and you get a lot of young people that come in and just want to see, because, you know, there is that myth that you get stung by bees because you bother them. Honeybees will not bother you unless you bother them. They might come and land on your forehead or something like that, but what they're actually doing is they're coming and they're getting some water. You're sweating. So the bees need water in their hives. So that's one of the things that they do. And it's honeybees will not bother you unless you go in and bother them. As a beekeeper, you have to go in and inspect your bees on occasion. That's why you see those white suits that beekeepers wear. And there are those, I will call them braver beekeepers that may not necessarily wear those, but I wear one myself because it can be kind of disconcerting to have bees flying all around your head and whatnot, because you go in and you're disturbing their house. If somebody comes in and bothers your house, you're not going to be happy about it. However, we're trying to help them. To make sure that they're not doing anything that they maybe they're thinking about swarming. There are things called swarm cells and supersedure cells where the queen or the hive will say, "Hey, we're not real happy with what's going on here," or, you know, "It's too crowded," or "It's hot," and, you know, we need to do something else, or "We're not real wild about the queen. She's been in here for a while, so we want to replace her. So we're gonna put in a queen cell," and the bees will actually you hear of swarms of bees, and they do, they'll swarm, but sometimes it's not a bad thing, because beekeepers can sometimes get free bees if you look at it the right way. They'll swarm, and you can catch them, and you can keep them as another hive.
When you do the Albemarle County Fair, don't they have so you can see the bees?
Yes,
don't
sir?
They have honey there too? Don't they have honey for sale? Not just at your booth, but elsewhere in the Albemarle County fairs or honey
I'm
for
not
sale?
Sure that they actually do. We don't. We'll give out samples of honey and that type of thing, little sticks and honey candy, and you know, just so that you can understand what the importance of bees
is. I was just wondering if there was. Is the goal to make your honey better than somebody else's honey, or is it to make your honey different than somebody else's honey?
You can't do anything to make your honey different. Well, I guess you could. You could plant different flowers and that kind of thing, but the bees will go and get their pollen and their nectar from wherever they can. There are different flavors of honey. There is actually a honey, I guess you call it a contest, where you take in your honey if you want to, and you have judges that come in and will judge how clear it is and what it tastes like and that type of thing, and you'll get a ribbon for it if you have really good honey. So but the bees will go out and they'll for instance, my bees usually have we have a lot of poplars, tulip poplars around where I live. So most of my honey is a tulip poplar honey, which is a lighter color. The type of nectar that they bring in is really what will determine kind of the color of the honey. In other words, there's a black walnut honey that it's a little bit darker than the flower honey, or it's probably a little stronger. The flower honey and the tulip honey is a very, well, in my opinion, it's very sweet. I like it a lot. All honey is going to be sweet. However, there are those that have, it might be a little stronger or something like that. So it's not the, it's not that it's bad. It's just, it's kind of like coffee. You have to develop a taste for some honey versus another. I mean, you know, you're used to buying Subi honey or whatever, and it's a very sweet and mild honey.
How do they make Subi honey? How do they make so much of that?
Lots of bees. They don't. The bees are the ones that make it. I think. A bee lives for...
But I feel like Sioux bee honey must have a plant the size of Texas.
Well, without going into a lot of it, but a lot of honeys are imported. If you look at the label, it might not be from the U.S. There are synthetic, I guess called synthetic honeys that come from overseas and that type of thing. So, but yeah, they make a lot of honey, and it's probably some of the commercial beekeepers that, you know, they'll go from the almond farms that they actually get paid to bring their hives in to pollinate the almond trees. Because there's a lot of almonds out west, if you stop and think about it. And then they might go from there to the apple and the apples and maybe the peaches. And they'll do so therefore they'll take that honey that is produced when they're pollinating and collecting that nectar and make the different types of honey. I'm not sure who Subi is, so you know. But
somebody's very wealthy grandmother.
Probably.
John Gooch here, Vice President of the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. John, let's talk for a minute. You mentioned apples and almonds. And one of the things that was pointed out to me as I did my homework for today's show, that honeybees contribute nearly $20 billion to the U.S. crop production. Bees work with nearly 100 plus crops, from tomatoes and onions and carrots. It's amazing when you think about it, and I'm not sure how many people really stop to think about it.
I'm not sure that they really do. The only time you really think about a bee is when it comes up and stings you, but it's probably not a bee that's stinging you. It's a wasp or a yellow jacket or something like that. But that there is actually a very strong and telling photograph from, I think it's Whole Foods, that if you take a picture of the produce section or even the dairy section and you put it out there and say, okay, here you go, this is what we sell. Now, this is what we would sell without bees. It is incredible / amazing what's not there. I mean, you don't think about it. You're walking through your yard and you see you've got some white clover out there, which bees absolutely adore, and you'll see a honeybee on it. And like, oh my gosh, it's going to sting me. As I said earlier, no, it's not going to bother you unless you bother it. Bees love clover, but without those bees, bees go flit from flower to flower. And what do? They actually, they pollinate them. In other words, they're going to go from one apple blossom to the next apple blossom, and they're going to take something from the previous one to the next one. And that's why you get apples. One of the things my wife is an avid gardener, and we grow a lot of squash. And if you look, there's a male squash and a female squash, which I was totally unaware of. But if the bee doesn't go from the male squash to the female squash, you're not going to get any good squash. You'll get a squash that's about an inch and a half long, and it'll wither away. But if the bees come in and pollinate, and I guess the term might be germinate, from one bloom to the next, that's where you get your nice, wonderful zucchini and crookneck squash from, or onions. They go from one flower to another, and they literally pollinate the fruit, the vegetables, whatever it is that you have around. So
when I was growing up, at my great grandmother's house, that's where the garden was, and it was a reasonable sized garden. I mean, it was probably 50 yards square feet, and she had that stereotypical white box bee house, and it was out there under a little grape arbor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it at the time. That's just what it was. And I realized later in life that she had it there to help grow the garden.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's amazing that now I think people have a lesser gardens, if they have them, probably because they have smaller gardens. Mm-hmm. And they depend on Whole Foods.
Exactly.
than she had back then. Again, we are talking about bees with John Gooch, vice president of the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. We'll come back in just a sec. People don't think about their meats as well, also being dependent on bees. Hang tight. Be right back. All right, back in action today here on Sunday talking about bees with John Gooch. John, we were talking about how crops are needed for bees. And again, 100 plus that are directly dependent on bees. Bees pollinate 1/6 of the flowering plants. And I have here a note, 400 agricultural plants. I think that came from the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. And but how the livestock is dependent upon bees as well, because bees help with forage plants that the livestock eats. People don't think about that.
Yeah, you probably really don't, because and it's like everything else. You don't really think about how important bees really are. Livestock, beef, pork, and that kind of thing. Probably more beef than anything. You stop and think about what's one of the biggest crops that a cow eats. Alfalfa. It really it improves their size and whatnot. But if you didn't have bees to pollinate the alfalfa, it wouldn't really do what it needs to do. Clover is the same way. You know, the clover is it just kind of, it multiplies because the bees go from clover head to clover head, and not only are they collecting that nectar, but they're taking the pollen from one flower to the other, and it's just, you know, I sit and watch my bees sometimes. It's kind of like watching the ocean, just sitting there watching them come in and out of the hive. And you don't really get a sense of how important they are until you stop and think about what you wouldn't have without them.
Why are you into bees?
Some time ago, I live out near Zion's Crossroads, and we have a garden. We have blueberries. We have blackberries. And we got to looking at I don't want to say going off the grid, but just producing more of our own produce and that type of thing. And one of the things that we looked into was bees. And bringing in your own honey harvest is just very satisfying. It takes a fair amount of work to actually keep your bees going. You have to look at bees kind of like pets, like dogs and cats. I mean, they really are. You can't just say, okay, guys, here's a box, go do what you do. You know, but you have to go in and you have to inspect them every now and again. And once you get the first year or so, I was really nervous doing it and probably wasn't doing as well as I should have. But once you get used to them, you know, you're probably going to get a sting now and again, because you're right. You go in and you start messing with their house, they're gonna get upset. But if you enjoy honey, I grow honey just, well, I have bees, yes, to help out the environment, because I know there are probably maybe three or four folks around me within 10 miles or so that have bees. And so I feel like I'm doing my part to help out the environment and that type of thing. But I also enjoy honey. So, you know, it's not something that I sell. They go as Christmas gifts and that type of thing. So some very expensive Christmas gifts. But, you know, if you don't look at it from the monetary standpoint, it's very satisfying to do this and know that, yes, you're going to go in and you're going to take some of the honey from the bees, but it's what they naturally do. So as long as you don't take too much from them, it's okay. And they might not be happy if you come in and take it, but they'll get over it, you know. And we'll take care of them as well. We'll feed them sugar and that kind of thing. So, but I guess, you know, we looked into different types of beekeeping and that type of thing, and there's a lady down in Scottsville that we have a relationship with that when we started out with one hive, and within a month we had two hives because we had a swarm, and that was because I was a bad beekeeper and I wasn't giving them enough air. And so they decided, oh, it's too hot in our house, so we're going to leave. And so we caught that swarm, and lo and behold, I had two hives. And we kind of went on from there. And I guess you ask why I am into beekeeping. My wife and I enjoy it. It's something we go out and we'll do together. And it's just, it's helping the environment, and helps us a little bit too. You know,
here's a piece of trivia that I learned in doing my research is that the settlers who came to Jamestown brought bees with them, because they knew that they needed to have their sugar. Sugar was very important when they came over.
Oh, I'm sure.
I found that fascinating. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about wild bees versus domestic bees? I would guess that, I mean, it seems like this is the case culturally, that in a stereotypical manner, many wild animals are diminishing. Is that the case with wild bees?
I would have to answer yes, because if you stop and think about it, as a beekeeper, you will go in and you'll check on your bees, you know, once a month or twice a month, twice every 2 months or something like that. And you know, you'll say, okay, guys, how are you doing? And if they're not happy for some reason or another, they're too crowded, you'll give them another box to build, you know, their comb and lay more eggs and create more bees, or they'll, you know, give you some good honey. Wild bees, though, however, don't have those folks that go out and check on them. So generally, you're going to find a wild bee colony maybe in a dead tree or one that has a hollow in it, that type of thing. So
there probably aren't that many more dead trees.
That's a good good point. So, you know, it probably, I can't say for sure, but in, you know, just with what I've done, and it seems like, yeah, they probably are diminishing somewhat, you know, versus domestic bees, because they're, you know, especially with our association, every year we get three or four more folks that are brand new to the beekeeping and that type of thing. So it's, you know, it's folks are saying, yeah, I want to help out. So, you know, let me get some bees. Let me do some beekeeping.
I would think that if you mentioned wild bees, I would think that if they need a big old tree, there aren't that many anymore, right? As we take over more of the land and we manage the land that we have, we don't leave big old dead trees with centers in them. We don't leave those around anymore.
You don't. And, you know, some of them go into folks' houses, too, every now and again. And that's not very... They don't appreciate that.
No, they don't.
Again,
our guest today, John Gooch, from the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. Albemarle County Parks and Rec has a class on beekeeping. You mentioned how you have a number of people who join your Central Virginia beekeepers. So let's make sure to throw that out there. How Marl County has a Parks and Rec class. The class takes place in February every year, and you can start signing up in December. Did you take the class, or
I was a rogue beekeeper. I started, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And for the first year, I guess I was fortunate in my fumbles and that type of thing. But then the second year that I actually was going into beekeeping, I took it, and it was very informative. Actually, the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association, the folks that do the classes are members of our association, and very very knowledgeable in the different issues when it comes to beekeeping. So, and when you take the class, obviously you enroll, and there's a fee, but you get one of the best references from me, which is Beekeeping for Dummies, and it's a very good reference. Also, your first year in the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association fees is included in that, so you're automatically can come to any of the functions that we have as an association, and so it's really this past year as the vice president, I attended the classes, and just to see the enthusiasm from some of the folks that are thinking about being beekeepers, and it's quite exciting to really see those folks want to become beekeepers.
I took the class back in 2008, I think. I did not become a beekeeper. I was taking it with a friend at the time. It was fascinating. It was a lot of fun. It was interesting. One of the more interesting parts was at the end of the class, I think we all went down to the Ivy Creek Natural Area, which is where you mentioned that the Central Virginia group gathers for your monthly meetings.
Correct.
And a new hive was going to be entered into a box.
Right.
And so what I found most interesting was this new hive was going to be put into its box. The folks from the class gathered. There were like 30 to 35 people in the class. There were a handful of people from the teachers and maybe some others who gathered at the Ivy Creek. And then the natural area wasn't closed off. So people who were pulling up are going, what's going on over there? So there were probably 30 to maybe 40 plus people who were gathering. The gentleman who was putting the hive in the box is not wearing the traditional white suit.
Right.
And there are some little kids around. And there are bees out and flying around everywhere. And some of the bees are on kids' arms. And the kids aren't freaking out because the adults in charge of this are telling them nothing to freak out about. Don't freak out. In fact, they're trying to pull a few over to put a bee on their hand and their arm. And it was fascinating to watch and fun to watch and experience. And it was just such a phenomenal end to the class. And again, now I chose not to go into beekeeping because I felt like I didn't have the time to devote to what I felt it needed. But the knowledge that I learned from it was there, and it was taught by a really great group.
Right.
So if you're interested, look into it. Again, Central Virginia Beekeepers.org, I'm sure, has all the information on it.
We do.
And so I recommend it for that. So you can tell more about it. I realize I took over the microphone to tell that, but I thought it was, you know, to get people going on it. And it was a lot of fun, especially that end part. To get the kids out there and have them with bees on their arm. I mean, usually when you get a bee on you, you're like, ah, get this bee off me. But those kids were like, Mom, look, cool, there's this bee on my arm. Complete
yeah, it's,
opposite.
It's a, you sound like a, you sound almost like a new beekeeper. I mean, really, that's kind of what happens. Yeah, one of the things we actually do is there is I guess it's when you take a package of bees and you purchase a package of bees, which is roughly 3 pounds of bees. And as you're like, why 3 pounds? Well, it's about 10 to 15,000 bees. There's a queen in there. The queen is, she's a brand new queen. So she needs to go out. She has to get the bees in the package have to get used to her, and then once you take them back and you put them in your hive, they'll get used to her because of the pheromones and the I think that's the word that she puts off, and the workers and whatnot are like, oh yeah, this is the lady that we want to be with. So and then she'll make her maiden flight, and she'll go out and, you know, she'll visit the bee bar with all the drones out there, and she'll come back and she'll have she'll basically will never leave the hive unless she decides to swarm with some of her folks. And that's one of the things that we actually do is there is a hive that is donated. They bring a package in. And they put it into a hive, a box, and one lucky student is the one that gets free bees. So, but part of it is coming to the Ivy Natural area and observing how to install a package of bees, which is quite interesting. Which when you come right down to it, I won't go all into all the details, but it's to say the least, the bees are quite a phenomenon unto themselves. They just it's amazing to actually sit and watch them and to learn about them and figure out how they will survive. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. They're like a community to themselves is really what it is. So
again, talking about bees today, John Gooch, Vice President of Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. Look up the class if you have any interest. It's taught in February, and Albemarle County Parks and Rec. We'll be right back. All right, back in action here with our bees and our friend of the bees, John Gooch. You know, one thing as we were finishing up, somebody gets the bees.
Right.
But they're delivered in the mail.
Yes, they are.
And I was fascinating that, you know, you don't have to, like, drive to Richmond or something and get them at the bee store or something. But somebody is actually delivering these somewhere, either to your house or to the post office, and then you go pick them up. I mean, I found that fascinating.
Yeah, I actually have only purchased my bees as a package through a supply store, or I got what's called a nuke, which, you know, we can talk about that if you want to. But yeah, there are ways to order bees online, you know, and so you never have to leave home to get them. I know I have some friends that have done that, and they've been fine. So, you know, it's they're I guess they're like any maybe perishable goods where they come in, as long as they're used to heat and that type of thing. As long as it doesn't take them too long to get there, then sure, you know, why not?
Oh, overnight express.
I'm not really sure.
What's a nuke?
A nuke is actually it's short for nucleus, where someone will actually have the bees that they start. They'll have a queen that's already she's not a maiden queen anymore, and she's ready to lay eggs and that kind of thing. So they'll introduce her into a small hive, and you'll actually get 5 frames of bees with not really bees, but 5 frames with eggs and larvae already in there, so that you just take those and you put them into it comes in a smaller a box, a nuke box, and where you take those and you put them into a 8 or 10 frame box, and just there you go. You've got bees that it's basically already a colony that has started. The queen has already started laying, whereas a package, the queen is not ready to lay yet. She has to actually go out and be fertilized before she's ready to lay. So this is basically, she's not going to leave. You put the queen and the bees in with their frames with some others, and they're like, okay, let's go. We got a new house now. So, you know, that type of thing. So
when you have a set of bees, a colony of bees at your house, every time new bees are born, is there some percentage chance that one of those bees might be a new queen?
No. If it's just being born as a worker, then they'll come in and they'll just start either being a nurse bee or a forager or a guard bee or something like that. If the colony sees that there might be the queen's getting old or something like that, then yes, it's the colony will decide they want a new queen. And if that's the case, then they'll be an egg that's laid, and they'll say, okay, we really like this one, so we're going to start feeding her royal jelly, which is the good stuff.
Oh, so they determine
the queen. They determine the queen, exactly. Exactly. That's why there are folks that breed queens. I have no idea exactly how that works, but they do. I mean, they'll actually breed queens, and because sometimes you might lose your queen. You're inspecting your bees, and you're pulling your frames out, and lo and behold, you do something to your queen that's you probably shouldn't have. So, you know, but No, it, generally the queen will decide whether it's going to be a worker or a drone, a male or a female. So,
again, our guest today is John Gooch from the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. There are all kinds of different bees, although you're only involved with honeybees, correct?
Correct.
But I was surprised that it's not just like honeybees and bumblebees and carpenter bees. There's multiple, I mean, even beyond that, I can't even think of the number that I wrote down. There's 100 different kinds of bees?
There may be, I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, but there are different types of actual honeybees where there are, and I can't even tell you, but maybe a handful of them. Generally, you get, when you buy a package, you get what, they're Italian bees.
Really?
They're Italians, yes. And that's, they're the most prominent bees. There are others that are, they're Russians, that I have a hive of Russians.
Does that have any difference on their behavior, on their flavor of honey, on their activity of when they leave night or day?
Very, very good question. Actually, the type of honey, no. They're going to pretty much, that's all in what's close by to their hive. Their behavior, yes. From what I understand, the Italians are fairly, they're like, okay, well, we're here, we're going to make honey, we're not going to do anything, you know, really crazy. They're going to swarm occasionally. They might be a little bit more aggressive when you're actually inspecting them. Russian bees are supposedly a little more laid back. I actually had two nukes, and one of them was a little more aggressive than the others. I think the first five times I went out and inspected them, I got stung every time I went out. But, you know, it's hard to say exactly why. It could have been my activity, as you know, as far as I was moving too fast or something like that. There are other ones. There's a breed called the Carnolian, I believe is what it is, and they have different attributes, whether they like to swarm more often, they're gentler bees. The Russians will actually, if you provide them with pollen earlier, say February, March, they might start actually start laying eggs sooner.
Talk about pesticides for a moment. When you have, because the bees typically leave they go out in the morning and come back in the evening, right?
Correct.
So if you have a garden, and some people choose to use pesticides, you are suggested, told not to spray your pesticide at that time of day?
Yeah, the best time to actually spray pesticides, if you're going to use them, it would be early in the morning or late in the evening, because the bees are going to go out when it's warmer, and that's when they're going to do their foraging. One of the things that we did in our garden was, because, I mean, you have those pests that you've got to deal with, you know, whether they're squash bugs or cucumber beetles or whatever, is there are bee-friendly types of pesticides that you can use. You still need to be cautious when you do it, but I mean, if you live next to a farmer that's, you know, going to do whatever he wants to do, it could be a little bit more frustrating to your bees, you know, and there's no reason why you couldn't go over and say, hey, you know, I've got some hives of bees over here, and I would appreciate if you would, you know, be a little bit more cautious with what you use. And lots of times, because the farmers rely on bees, they'll be a little bit more receptive to it. But yeah, there are bee friendly organic type pesticides that you can use that will not harm your bees. So, you know, because that's, people talk about colony collapse disorder and that type of thing, and there really isn't a true reason for colony collapse disorder. It's, you know, it probably is partially because of the use of pesticides and that type of thing. I actually made it through the winter with 4 hives of bees, and I made it through the winter with 4 hives of bees. I went out in February and did on a warm day and checked them out, and everybody was doing good. I went back about three or four weeks later. I only had 1 hive of bees left.
Oh my.
Yeah, and I feel pretty confident that it wasn't because they had gone out and, you know, gotten into some pesticides or something like that. I think that it probably was more of a, maybe they hadn't made it through with enough bees in their cluster, so therefore they just, you know, it was warm and then it got cold again, and that was it. Sometimes bees will actually just do what's called abscond; they'll just leave. And, you know, if you can't find any evidence of any dead bees in your hive, well, like, okay, well, where did they go? So, you know, they're, and I think that's what happened. I was really close to just saying, oh my gosh, this is awful. But then I now am back up to 5 hives, where I bought a package, and then I caught 3 swarms. And
how do you catch a swarm? You've mentioned several times now about, you know, about getting a swarm, or
to make a long story short, it's if you can put out a swarm trap, and there have been studies on, you know, you need to face the opening and, you know, in the right direction, and it's got to be so far off of the ground. Well, I actually put a swarm trap that a friend of mine made for me on my back deck. And lo and behold, I caught a swarm of bees. It could have been my own. I don't know. But
they're not marked. They don't have special.
They don't have collars or anything on them or anything like that. So, and then I'm on a list of folks that will go and catch swarms. And I had a call from Lake Monticello, and I went out and they had a swarm of bees next to hole number 2. And so I went out, and, you know, you basically what you do is you try to get as many bees as you can into your box, and if you're catching a swarm, and hopefully the queen goes in there, because if you get the queen in there, then pretty much all the other bees will follow her, because, you know, that's where they want to be. So it's not a, there's no real true science to it or right way or a wrong way, but, you know, you try to get the queen in the box, and the rest of them will just follow along. So
John Cooch here again, Central Virginia Beekeepers Association. Just a few minutes left as we talk about bees. You know, honey being a natural food product, at least for the most part here in the U.S., does anything have to be inspected?
Yes. If you are going to sell honey, you actually have to be inspected by the state to sell that honey.
When I see the piece of plywood on the side of the road that says, you know, honey, $3.
If it's only $3, then they're probably not being inspected.
No, okay. But honey, $8.
Honey, $8.
Yeah, I misread it. I didn't see the other half of that three.
There you go. There's probably there is some inspection to be done, just because you have to actually have a label on your honey saying, okay, I've been inspected by the state, and everything that I'm doing here is on the up and up. If you have equipment that, you know, okay, I've decided that I'm just not going to do it anymore, so I'm going to sell my equipment, then that equipment needs to be inspected as well, just in case you had some kind of a disease in your bees or something like that you don't want to pass on to somebody else. So, yeah, there it's like any other food product. You have to be inspected in order to sell it. So,
and you're not selling. You said the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association at the website. Are you, can I go on there, and does it show? Does it list members who are selling honey? Do you know?
Actually, there is a list of members. I feel like it's probably on the website. There are some of our members that will sell their honey. A lot of it depends also on the harvest and that type of thing. But yes, we have quite a few of our members that will actually sell their honey.
And so if you want some local honey,
exactly.
You can start there. Again, mm-hmm. centralvirginiabeekeepers.org. Just a last question or so as we wind down. One of the things is, even if you don't have your own bee colony in your own box, one of the things we want to do is to help the bees is, and you like gardening, is a pollinator garden.
There are certain flowers that you can plant in your garden, and you could go on the state apiarist website and find out what those are, or you could probably go to a local natural gardening place and they'll say, yeah, this is the kind of wildflowers that you need to plant. And also, I mean, you can always go on the web and find out what kind of flowers there are to actually plant to help out the bees.
What you're doing is you're feeding the bees.
Yes.
Making sure that they have a welcome place to come and go.
Exactly. And you're also feeding yourself if you stop and think about it. You want those bees to be happy.
That's
because
right.
Without bees, it would be tough. It really would.
That's right, because that takes us back to where we started.
Exactly.
Bees pollinate 1/6 of the flowering plants and 400 agricultural plants. And many of our livestock are dependent upon plants that the bees pollinate for their own food.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
John, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And so John Gooch, Vice President of the Central Virginia Beekeepers Association, centralvirginiabeekeepers.org. Go there and look for your honey. Don't forget the Albemarle County Fair and some of the other fairs.
Exactly.
You can go check things out. All right. See everybody next week.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Strength is in their fuel. Engineering assistance is from Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SevillePodcast.com. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning for another edition of The Wake-Up Call, only on 94.7 WPVC.